Boy, the Jaguars spent all that money on Trevor Lawrence, even named the stadium after him, when they could have just waited on Sam Darnold.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good peep. It feels absolutely stupendous to be with you here on this Monday, a victory Monday. Not just for me, Theo Dorsey, but also for my guy, C-Cat, on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos, because it's Baltimore Ravens. They were desperate. They had their backs against the wall. They were cornered, which, generally speaking, at Jerry World, not a good position to be in. Not a good position to be in, from what we hear. But it was a great position for Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and those Ravens who pulled off the win. My Chiefs got the Sunday Night Football win. Nothing but good vibes on this Duffy's MVP Monday. C-Cat, how does it feel to get that first mark in the win column?
You know, it's only week three. It's only week three.
Yeah.
But I felt myself getting emotionally invested in that 4:35 kickoff on Fox, man. Oof. I was giving hard fist pumps, little hand claps,
yeah,
screaming at the television. I got more animated for a week three game than I think I ever have before.
Almost as animated as you and the Ravens fans were at the Duffy Sports Grill a couple of weeks ago on a Thursday night when you thought Isaiah likely scored the game-winning touchdown.
Fair enough. You know, got a little emotional, yeah, a little premature, waiting for the replay, and we would have been less happy.
Man, y'all went from getting, literally, from almost having the very first win of the NFL season to almost being the last team to mark a win. But you got it done.
We did.
You got it done on Sunday. It was an amazing performance, not just from the Ravens, but from so many different teams. Not just the fact that we had a lot of desperation in the air and the NFL team stepped up and they actually, you know, made good on that desperation. We also had just some sensational performances from people who you wouldn't have expected it from had I told you this back in the offseason. But the funny thing is, C-Cat, because today we're going to talk about who were the best, who are the greatest additions, investments this NFL offseason, this summer, as teams were looking to retool their rosters and get ready for 2024. And it's almost like I did tell you. It's almost like I did clue you in on what might be happening out in Minneapolis. The Vikings, with a demonstrative win, the best win of the weekend, if you ask me, over the Houston Texans at home, 34-7, Sam Darnold, 4 touchdown passes. He leads the NFL in touchdown passes. Yes, that's Sam Darnold, the guy that they went out and got for 1 year, $10 million. And you just oppose that up to what we saw the Jacksonville Jaguars invest in the Trevor Lawrence. Looks like a bit of an overpay. What we saw the Detroit Lions pour into Jared Goff's contract, which again, I mean, we're chanting the dude's name at the draft. I get investing in the dude. He had you right there up on the brink of a Super Bowl. And then also, of course, the Dolphins and Tua, $50-plus million for a guy who we don't know will ever step on the field again for the Dolphins. But the Vikings, they had the insight. Kevin O'Connell believed in Sam Darnold. And back when J.J. McCarthy had that tear in his meniscus and we learned he was out for the season, we came on here, on Theoretically Speaking, and we made a bit of a proclamation. We said, hey, don't count these Vikings out. Sam Darnold could be good for them. How about we hop in the memory machine before we talk about what happened today, just to give y'all a little bit of a clue into how we've been ahead of the curb on this. Let's take a listen back. Right there with the Vikings. They just paid Justin Jefferson. They're hopeful that this guy, Jordan Addison, is going to be a 1A, like a T. Higgins, Jalen Waddle style 1A to Jordan, to Justin Jefferson. And also with Brian Flores coaching up that defense, this is a team that their win total right now is 7.5. This is a team that can realistically, if they can overcome this really, really tough NFC North division, can expect to maybe win 9-10 games this year. That's not out of the realm of possibility. All right, now we're back here in present day. Again, that was during the preseason. We're back in present day. And as I look at the NFC North standing, starting from the bottom up, number one, in last place, the Chicago Bears. The Bears. Still time.
Yeah, we don't got to talk about every take that we made during the preseason. We're cherry-picking the important ones here. It's about the Vikings today.
Okay, and third place, the Green Bay Packers at 2-1. Great coaching. Great job. That was one of our picks and punchline picks for them, not just to win, but cover against the Titans. They did that and more. The Lions at 2-1, and the lone undefeated team in the NFC North, your Minnesota Vikings, and they haven't even really had the full slate of options out there because Jordan Addison's still out with injury. Sam Darnold has been the biggest revelation of the 2024 season so far. Sammy touchdowns with 8 of them on the year so far, leading the Texans over playoff teams, over contenders. I'm talking about the San Francisco 49ers and the Houston Texans and helping it happen in such a demonstrative style. Sam Darnold clearly was the best investment from this offseason because for a Vikings franchise, who everybody felt like the NFC North was a three-team race, the Bears, the Lions, and of course, the Packers, who have a guy like Jordan Love who feels like he's another one of those future Hall of Famers. The Minnesota Vikings, the way that they've started off and the way that Sam Darnold has looked for them, I would not be shocked if this time next year we're talking about Sam Darnold still being the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings as J.J. McCarthy sits behind him. He's playing at that level. He's an early season MVP, and I cannot believe that we didn't see this coming, except we did, C-Cat, except we called it in the offseason. People need to lock in more and listen to Theoretically Speaking.
Is it too early to start calling teams about J.J. McCarthy and trading him?
Man.
Is it too early to start doing that? Am I getting a little premature here?
It's crazy to say, but also Sam Darnold is not old.
Yeah.
He's perfectly aged as a stopgap quarterback right now because he's 27. He's 27 years old. We talked about it before the show. Who's the big franchise quarterback, the big name who has so much ground ahead of him? People are calling him a future Hall of Famer. Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's older than Sam Darnold.
Exactly.
He's like, this guy has more of a runway to improve and be better than the guy that y'all have already crowned in Joe Burrow, who I told y'all this offseason as well. It's not Josh Allen who's the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. It's Joe Burrow. And so far as the Bengals are 0-2, and they're the most desperate team now tonight, needing a win in Monday Night Football to remain relevant in the AFC, that's looking like more of that might be even stronger of a prediction that I made than the Sam Darnold breakout, because it kind of was clear to see that this would be at least a solid year from the Vikings. Sam Darnold looked solid in his little spat out there with the 49ers. He looked like a guy that finally started to get some things together. He's mature now. He's got rid of some of those losing ways.
Yeah, he certainly has. And I want to eat a lot of my words about the current quarterback of the 49ers, Brock Purdy, if they didn't ahead and lose their game yesterday. I talked to you before the show where if the 49ers won yesterday, that was my big takeaway from the weekend, where Christian Kapp was wrong about the quarterback, Brock Purdy. But outside of that, yeah, Sam Darnold looks really good, and there's all those weapons there for a reason. They reinvested in at running back. I love what I'm seeing in Minnesota.
Minnesota is prime. They're like perfectly set up right now. If you look at the guys that were catching balls from Sam Darnold, he only had 17 completions but had 4 touchdowns. We got Justin Jefferson with 6 catches. He's always going to be around. He got a score. Aaron Jones got in the end zone, 5 catches out of the backfield. You got Jalen Naylor. I mean, Brandon Powell. It's not like he's doing this with a roster full of Pro Bowlers on the outside to go to. It's not like Sam Darnold is doing this against teams who aren't primed to be at the end of the season competing at a very high level. The Vikings just dog-walked the Texans. They literally just dog-walked the Tech on the same day that we saw Brock Purdy, who you were ready to apologize for, fall to the Los Angeles Rams, to the banged-up Rams who don't have any of their top weapons out there. On the same day where we saw Deshaun Watson, who had the most guaranteed money of all time until Dak Prescott beat him out. Both of those teams go down, and Watson does so against the New York Giants. He's actually had the worst start to a season based on expected points added, EPA, the worst start to a season through 3 games for any Browns quarterback in 2 decades. That is a abject failure, and it is going to be looked at going as one of the worst trades and signings in the history of the NFL. But you juxtapose that to a Vikings team who was patient, a Vikings team who had the eyesight, the vision to say, hey, Sam Darnold is a guy that not only can come in here and just be the starter until J.J. McCarthy steps into place. He could be a guy that we can have a long-term future with, depending on how well he does with Kevin O'Connell. Three games in, it looks super promising. And you know who else had the vision, the eyesight, the ability to kind of lock in and know Sam Darnold might be that guy?
Surely someone smarter than you.
Man, and it's very few people in this world, C-Cat. It's very few. I traveled the world this weekend. I went to Charlotte, North Carolina. I went to New York City for a wedding and a surprise birthday party. Didn't run into anybody that had more football wits than me, so I had to turn to the Pat McAfee show where Bill Belichick pulled up with all his Super Bowl rings.
Everybody has liked Darnold except the Jets. The people in Carolina that I talked to, they really liked him. He was, at the Rams and not for very long. They liked him. I think they want to re-sign him. He was looking for more of an opportunity than to play behind Stafford. And then, I know that Kevin and some of the coaches in Minnesota, they really like this guy too. So it seemed like the only people that didn't like Darnold were at the Jets.
And look at where the Jets stand, today. Solid position. But all of the quarterbacks that came through there now willing and dealing at another level. Geno Smith, undefeated with the Seahawks. Sam Darnold, undefeated with the Vikings. The Jets, limping along with Aaron Rodgers, hoping that they can be a top contender out of that division. I still got them winning the division because I'm sticking with my preseason picks, but I don't feel as good about it, especially with how I feel like the Bills are probably going to dog walk those Jaguars tonight. But I ask you, because to me it's easily and clearly Sam Darnold, the best addition of this offseason, and we don't have to just keep it with the NFL. We can also go college football because I'm looking at those Miami Hurricanes, and I'm saying, damn, if there's ever a time in which one dude flipped the entire trajectory of a franchise, of an organization, of a program, of a coach's future, Cam Ward to the Miami Hurricanes feels like that. He gave them so much moxie, so much poise, and the confidence, at least in me. C-Cat didn't believe in him this weekend.
Not at all.
But in me, this is a totally different Canes program. Who was the best offseason addition based on the first few weeks we've seen both in college football and the NFL, and how is it not Sam Darnold with the Minnesota Vikings, who stand atop the NFC North and look like contenders, not just to win that division, but potentially to win a couple playoff games? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to call in. The Baptist Health Hotline here on Theoretically Speaking with myself, Theo Dorsey, and C-Cat. Who is the best offseason football addition? Which GM is an early front runner for executive of the year? And I'm rocking with those Vikings getting Sam Darnold. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Sam Darnold, who leads the league right now in touchdown passes, who leads the Vikings into a magical, a huge, just a demonstrative win at home. And now the Vikings schedule gets a little tougher. It gets a little thicker as they walk into, again, this is going to be a bit of a gauntlet. I'll name these next four games for you, C-Cat. It doesn't get any easier, and it's not like it started easy. They're going to be at the Packers next Sunday. They're home to the Jets the Sunday after that, and then they're home to the Lions the following week. So at the Packers, home to the Jets, home to the Lions. Like, Sam Darnold still got a lot more work ahead of him, but three games in, it looks like that investment was clear cut ahead of many of the other additions we saw this offseason. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. Who was the greatest addition to a football team this offseason? And there's a lot of teams that are wishing they had a guy like Sam Darnold at quarterback. And maybe it's not just the teams like the Jets, who used to have him. Maybe it's also some teams like the Browns, who have a huge quarterback controversy ahead of them, mainly because of the fact that the guy they have, that they paid all that money and tied all that money into, he looks like a guy who is not just, maybe not quit on his team, but I don't know if we're ever going to get those flashes of the MVP stardom that we saw in Deshaun Watson. I think those days are much behind us, and it's going to be a very long season for Browns fans and that front office with a lot of decisions ahead of them. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to call in here to Theoretically Speaking. Who was the greatest offseason addition coming in as we're 3 weeks into the football season? We got Joe in Jupiter. Joe, you're here on Theoretically Speaking. And first and foremost, Joe, sorry for your loss.
I'm staying off the ledge because I've been calling this show for a long time, and you, when you were on with Ken Levick and stuff, y'all keep me from flying off the edge.
Yes.
And I call in for therapy.
Stay safe.
And I'm doing it today. Of course, I'm not going to do anything stupid. Well, we witnessed yesterday afternoon, I think Derrick Henry, there's others, but Derrick Henry's acquisition to the Baltimore Ravens when we could have had him, he looks like he's 24 years old.
Yeah.
He's a monster. I think that's a fantastic pickup by the Ravens. I know that they started 0-2, but they're going to come around. Lamar Jackson is insanely good still, and Derrick Henry just runs over people. And the fact that we could have had him, and instead we can't even get more than 50 yards in a game against people that nobody even know, probably. Oh, I'm sorry. Zeke, who's 60 years past
his prime. He's old.
He's old. Yeah. I know. Good guy. Wish him the best. But it's just so frustrating to watch, especially when you see it. The Ravens have beat us. They faced the Cowboys 7 times in their career. They destroyed us the last game at Texas Stadium in the freezing cold with two guys going for over 200 yards. I forget McClain and somebody else. Mm. To end the season in 2008. They got our number, and then we get to see a guy that we could have picked up, but Jerry Jones said we didn't have the money.
Right.
I'm pretty sure he could have figured out. I'm pretty sure he could have figured out to get that money.
Appreciate the call, Joe. You're absolutely right. The Cowboys had one point of emphasis this offseason, and it should have been to address their lack of a rushing game. And there were backs out there. It wasn't just Derrick Henry. There were plenty of running backs out there that the Cowboys could have brought in and made a serious effort towards getting, including Derrick Henry, who, by the way, C-Cat, trains in Dallas. I believe has a home in Dallas, Texas. It was literally lined up. The stars were aligned to have a star on his helmet. And somehow, instead of doing so, the Cowboys stood pat. They sat on their hands. They really didn't bring anybody in this offseason. All they did was wait until the last minute to extend Dak Prescott and extend CeeDee Lamb. And, oh, what do you know? Everybody knows exactly what they want to do on offense every single play.
It is beautiful seeing that 1-2 punch of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry be combined, because 1-2 punch, those are two guys who can be one-man offenses. We've seen Lamar be the one-man punch with the Ravens for quite some time now.
Yes.
And we saw Derrick Henry be the same thing, the offense in one man, in one backfield with the Titans in his prime. You combine the two together, and it's ridiculous. You see rejuvenation in youth, what it looks like. Lamar Jackson reverting back 5 years to when he entered the league, and the league had no idea how to handle him.
And that's the problem, is the league has no idea how to handle Derrick Henry and Lamar in that same backfield right now. And because of the offensive line issues early on, which are going to get cleaned up as the year goes along, as well as I still think Todd Monken, as an offensive coordinator in his second year, he's going to continue to get the hang of this thing a little bit more as time goes along. Or I think Harbaugh is going to pull away some of those responsibilities from him and either him take over somehow or do something. Like, the fact that you had to wait until this game to give that guy, Derrick Henry, 25 carries in what was maybe one of the most obvious moves ever. But leading into this game, you got your back against the wall. You're going up against the Cowboys defense, where they are literally like a open tunnel when it comes to running right now. Like, hey, they're turnstile. They're like, come on in. Pull up on us. They want you to try and throw because they know they cannot stop the run, and the Ravens just pounded them into a smithereen. I think 25 carries for Derrick Henry, 151, 2 touchdowns. Lamar Jackson went over 80 yards on the ground. They kind of had their way. And then after the game, this is why even in the offseason too, I talked about, we're not talking about the fact that the Ravens just added the ageless wonder Derrick Henry into their backfield. After the game, Lamar Jackson reiterated something that I've been saying. Once somebody gets the King nickname, King James, now King Henry, I think that's what we need to realize or decide, hey, age, we throw that out the window. They're just going to be good. They're going to be good until they decide to retire. Do you know anybody else with the King nickname that isn't playing well past their quote-unquote prime, well past their counterpart's prime, that look that physically gifted? It's just those two guys, and they won't go away.
Trying to think of another King nickname.
There's no other. You
coming up empty.
You can't give out. You do not give out the King nickname to normal people. And he's an alien, and LeBron James is an alien, and the one thing they share in common is the moniker, the King. Here's Lamar Jackson saying, hey, y'all might be shocked by what Derrick Henry pulled out here in week three, but I'm not because I know what they call him.
Oh, man, I expect that from him, you know. You just got to give him lanes, just hold up and just let him do his thing. You know, he be busting his behind each and every practice. That's a guy who don't like to make mistakes. He showed off, you know. He did what kings do, you know, Derrick Henry.
That's what kings do, baby. Like, that's King stuff right there. No further commentary, no further addressing of that. He did what kings do. And you look at the Cowboys backfield, Rico Dowdle, 8 carries, 32 yards. Ezekiel Elliott, 3 carries, 6 yards. And then Deuce Vaughn, 5'3", Deuce Vaughn had a couple of carries for 5 yards. Turpin had a yard. If you can't run the ball, especially today in the NFL, you're going to struggle to win games, and the Cowboys are in danger of not just not winning their division, but missing the playoffs this year at this point.
Does the late comeback in that game change anything about how you view the Ravens-Cowboys game from yesterday?
Not at all, because apparently this is what the Ravens do. Like, it wasn't just what they did against the Raiders, letting the Raiders come back, Gardner Minshew turning into, like, I don't even know what prime Aaron Rodgers against the Ravens defense in the fourth quarter a couple of weeks ago. But it also, if you think about it, has happened most of the time that the Ravens have lost games. They've given up these second half leads. They did it against the Dolphins a couple of years ago in that prolific 1 o'clock game that had everybody hanging on, especially fantasy football owners, because everybody was going off in that game. Like, the Ravens give up second half leads. I'm not sure how. I'm not sure why. And now that they have Derrick Henry, there's no excuse to be giving up second half leads late like that. But is it the defense taking their foot off the pedal? Like, what do you as a Ravens fan assess that to?
Yeah, it seems like the offense taking their foot off the pedal. Like, when the Ravens run the ball at a great, consistent rate, when have the entire playbook open, when you know Lamar can pull it and toss it into the second level. When you show your hand and show that the Ravens are only going to run the football, that's when the playing field gets leveled a whole lot more.
Right.
And that's what happens in the second half. Guys kind of just plan for the run, and only the run. And that's when you see them kind of show their weaknesses a little bit. But you saw in that 4-minute drive from the Ravens where if they did not get one more first down, the Cowboys would get the football back. 3rd and 6, the Ravens did not run the football because, you know, guaranteed no risk of an incomplete pass to stop the clock. No, they trusted Lamar with the ball in his hands, throwing the football, connected with Zay Flowers. Of course, the risk there is incomplete pass, one less timeout that the Cowboys have to use, and it's 4th down, you got to punt the ball away. No, they trusted Lamar with the ball in his hands, throwing the football, connected for the first down, and then the rest was history.
How can you not, too? How can you not trust in Lamar Jackson, the 2-time MVP? He's had his blunders in big moments, but he also has had more times where he's come out successful. He did so on Sunday with the Ravens with their backs against the wall. We do have our poll of the week. I mean, we only got 4 teams left in the NFL that are 3-0. And their quarterbacks are Justin Fields, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, and Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, that's it. Those are the lone defeated teams or undefeated teams in the league. Our question here, our poll of the week presented by Vote Palm Beach. Who's the biggest surprise to start the NFL season 3-0? Hop on Twitter at ESPN West Palm. Make your vote count here between the Steelers, Seahawks, Vikings, and Chiefs. Who is the biggest surprise that has started the season through 3 weeks with not a blemish left on their record? Our Monday poll, it brings a friendly reminder from the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections that the general election is November 5th. Yeah, we're closing in on that. And you have to be registered to vote by Monday, October 7th. That's right around the corner. In order to make your voice heard, you have to be registered, and your vote is your voice. We're going to be here to make it count. Visit registertovoteflorida.gov for all the info you need to be ready to go in November. That's registertovoteflorida.gov, and we'll lock in. Make sure that you're good to go and hit them polls with some power, the same power that Derrick Henry brought right to the gut of that Cowboys defense time and time again, pounding the rock. He is one of the – when you're going up against a Derrick Henry-led team, you feel vulnerable. You literally just feel susceptible to whatever he wants to do, and he literally had his way with the Cowboys, especially in that second half, stiff-arming dudes to the ground and making Jerry Jones regret not going after him this offseason. We continue to take your calls and your social media questions on who was the best addition from this football offseason. Sam Darnold to the Vikings, a great call. Cam Ward to the Miami Hurricanes, an amazing transfer portal addition. And how about Mike McDonald, the defensive coordinator from the Ravens, going to the Seattle Seahawks, has them 3-0 right now, and they put the beat down on the Miami Dolphins, who I thought had a chance. I thought that Skylar Thompson, in this second, third year under Mike McDonald or Mike McDaniel, knowing that system, I thought he had a week of practice, but he stepped out there and he looked like he practiced about as much as me this week. That was absolutely abysmal. And there's now not just questions around whether or not he can hold up the fort. There's going to be questions whether or not Mike McDaniel is the coach that we thought he was. And again, we're just 3 weeks in. The questions surrounding the Dolphins, absolutely just disheartening. We had six 0-2 teams win on Sunday, including your Ravens, CK.
Yeah, feels
six
good.
0-2 teams. Only 0-2 team to lose, Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans, who gave us another meme, by the way. You saw that with the D lineman, like, sandwiching him, pancaking on the ground?
Yeah, that was ugly.
Well, I can't believe what's it's like a theatrical, what's happening to the Titans this year. Also, there were eight games where a team was a touchdown or more favorite and lost outright through these first couple of weeks. That leads us into this. We got Monday Night Football tonight. Monday Night Football, a doubleheader. We have both the Jaguars and Buffalo playing first, and in Washington at Cincinnati. The Bengals, 7-point favorites tonight at home to the Commanders on Monday Night Football. They're 0-2. They're desperate for a win, but they're also touchdown favorites again. On the other side, who needs to win more tonight? The 0-2 Jaguars or the 0-2 Bengals, who are favored and at home against a team that should not be competing with them? We saw what the Patriots did. We address on the other side that C-Cat, I'm Theo Dorsey. We're theoretically speaking on a MVP Monday on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
It is Monday Night Football Doubleheader Day, the day in which we all come together and say, well, do we really need two primetime games on a Monday night? Are either of these matchups compelling at all, other than the fact that both the Jaguars, who heading into the season, they had hopes. They had hopes of being a playoff team. They had expectations of being able to compete for their division. They're 0-2. And then the Bengals, I mean, they literally, if you ask Bengals fans or Ponta, like, remember all the talk about the one quarterback the Chiefs don't want to see is Joe Burrow. Well, the one quarterback the Bengals don't want to see apparently is Jacoby Brissett. And tonight it might end up being Jaden Daniels, the way that the Bengals are off to an 0-2 start, and they need a win at home tonight. Monday Night Football doubleheader. We'll be locked in on that. That'll be a fun one. But golly, I wish we had better matchups here from theoretically speaking. One thing about it, though, is there's going to be a lot of people who have to decide whether or not I'm going to watch this, I'm going to watch that. Like, you got to go back and forth. If you go to a Duffy Sports Grill, C-Cat, guess what?
What's that?
You ain't got to make that kind of decision.
Easy.
It's 80 or more televisions. You could put 40 of them on one of the games, 40 of them on the other games, and you got all kind of viewing angles, all kind of action in front of your face as you're being delivered two-for-one drinks all day, every day. The weekend's not over. If we have a double primetime NFL night, that means the weekend gets extended by a day. At Duffy Sports Grill tonight, pull up, go to your closest one, make sure you Uber there, two-for-one drink it out, and then also you get those, oh, come on, man. Award-winning burgers, jumbo wings. You got your gridiron starters, a whole new lineup of starters for you between the house-made fried pickles, the gridiron nachos. It's the perfect place to check out some football this weekend, so why don't you? Duffy Sports Grill, DuffysMVP.com. At Duffy's, our game is always on. And of course, like we do on every single Monday, we'll bring you the Duffy's MVPs from the weekend. We have some excellent candidates. We got a little WNBA action coming in on this one. We got, of course, we have an NFL owner who he called in. He made sure. He was like, I have to be a part of it. I have to be considered for this, because that's what he does. He nominates himself for things, even in a losing effort from his own team. We got a little bit of that, too. And C-Cat, tonight, we got a couple of games with some desperate teams back in the fold. The Jaguars can't afford to lose tonight to the Buffalo Bills. The Bengals certainly can't afford to drop a game at home against the Washington Commanders. And when you look at both of these teams who are desperate to not fall into an 0-3 hole, I would say it's the Cincinnati Bengals who can least afford a loss tonight. Yet again, they're staring down a team that they're a touchdown or more favorite over. They're going to do so at home, and they're going to do so with all of these questions regarding and surrounding how they're going to have an offensive output out of their quarterback, Joe Burrow, as well as, I mean, you fall to 0-3 and you got the Steelers that start off 3-0 with Justin Fields at the helm. I don't know how you can make up ground, not just in that division, but in the AFC. The Bengals have to play desperate tonight, and I already saw it. Did you see the Cam Taylor-Britt, the cornerback for the Bengals, who was yapping at Mahomes and Xavier Worthy?
Didn't see this, no.
So Cam Taylor-Britt is like a second, third-year corner for the Bengals. You know, there's no you know, filter out of Bengals players. They have, it feels like out of every NFL team, they have the most free reign to just say whatever the hell they want on a microphone, and it seems like there's no backlash from it, which I'm cool with. Like, we get a lot of good quotes out of Ja'Marr Chase because of it. But Cam Taylor-Britt, who is starting to become a name in the league because he's the one that had the one-handed Odell Beckham Jr. style interception against Patrick Mahomes in the Chiefs-Bengals game. He did so over Xavier Worthy, who before the game he called out. Reporters asked him, he said, hey, Cam, I mean, what do you think about that Worthy kid? Two touchdowns in the opener. And he says, nah, man, I mean, all he could do is run straight and run fast. That's it. One-trick pony. Gets into the game. Mahomes tries him. One-handed interception. Now, ahead of this Commanders game, he said the Commanders offense, I mean, it's basic. They're keeping it simple for a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels, who's coming off of a Heisman-winning season at LSU, similar to his guy, Joe Burrow, right? But he's saying that Cliff Kingsbury has a really easy, simple offensive system for Jaden Daniels. So if I'm a betting man, after I saw him back up his words against Patrick Mahomes and Xavier Worthy, I might just be putting down some money on Cam Taylor-Britt getting an interception tonight against the Commanders, because that dude, he talked that talk, but he'd be backing it up.
Well, we have one example of that. So what I'm thinking is you need a Bill Belichick school of shutting up in the media so that it is not something anybody has to worry about. So that not every other player on that defense says, hey, Britt said this about the offense. Do you feel the same way? No one else has to deal with that anymore if he never brings up the statement once.
So you're a fan. You're more of a fan of guys, you know, keeping it zipped, not really talking trash. I actually, especially from the Bengals, because we don't get much else out of them during the regular season. They're not much of a threat outside of the aura and the confidence of their quarterback. Like, I'm a fan of them jaw jacking, especially if you go out there and do something with it.
I'm taking the side of his teammates in the position that he puts them in. Like, I don't want my teammate doing that and making me have to back up or maybe play crisis mode.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to clean up the mess that he makes.
Well, it seems like they do it often out there in Cincinnati, and it doesn't feel like they have any plans of stopping it. We'll see what happens tonight. Well, I do think that the Bengals being in this sort of a desperate mode and also having it at home going up against a younger Commanders team, like, they should be able to wax the floor with them. But I also don't have a lot of confidence in that squad. I do think they're the ones that have to win tonight, because for the Jacksonville Jaguars, if you're on the road at Buffalo, and we talked about this going into this past weekend, which is why I said the Jags have to find a way to win, and they didn't. I don't see a route in which they can beat the Bills this year with how disjointed their offense has looked, with how poor of a investment it feels like that you know, buying low on Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't proven anything in the league yet, and he still has yet to show us why he would be deserving of $50-plus million a year. That team doesn't look poised at all to be able to beat a Bills team that gets an extra day of rest and is coming off of a week where they literally shattered the dreams and hopes of the Dolphins, and that was before Tua got hurt. Like, they had Miami fans reaching for answers to questions that they didn't even know they had ahead of the season based on what they did at Hard Rock Stadium. I'm starting to lean into what you and Evan Cohen feel this year. The Bills, they might be serious.
The Bills might be serious. I'm looking at both the schedules going forward for the two teams that were wondering who needs a win tonight more. They're not playing each other, playing two different Monday night games. Yeah. The Bengals coming up, they hit the road, take on the Panthers. You and I can agree that's a winnable football game.
Should be able to get that one.
And then they go home versus the Ravens. That's going to be a tough one. Take a road trip to the Giants and at the Browns. Then they're home versus the Eagles.
Pretty easy
home
slate.
Versus the Raiders.
Yeah, that's an easy slate.
Exactly. Not too bad. You look at the next couple of games for the Jaguars, also not that difficult. At the Texans, that's a hard one.
Oof.
But a winnable game versus the Colts, winnable game versus the Bears, winnable game versus the Patriots, and then at the home versus the Packers at the Eagles. Oh, kind of similar, right?
Yeah. How do you feel, though, now this far into the season about the Indianapolis Colts, who went up against those Bears? Like, all of the preseason Anthony Richardson hype, it's starting to feel similar to what we had literally when he got that Heisman hype playing at Florida, where it was these immaculate plays. First 2 weeks out the gate, we're like, oh, my God, is he going to go on a Cam Newton-esque run? And then it kind of tailed off. And even with Shane Steichen at the helm, and him coaching up an offense that feels very, feels prolific, feels like it has a very high ceiling. He makes those idiotic mistakes. He makes the red zone turnover interception that he had. Like, there's still going to be a lot of ups and downs with him. You say it's an easy win. That could be a game where they blow the Colts out, or the other way around, all just swinging on the pendulum of, is Anthony Richardson actually good?
Yeah, as boring as an answer as it is, for almost every single team in this league except for the Chiefs, it's almost like, I'll wait and see.
Yeah.
It feels like 3 weeks into the season, I don't know the identity of almost any of these teams in the NFL right now. It feels like everyone's just trying to figure out who they are.
Yeah, and it's a lot of trying to figure it out. And if for the Carolina Panthers, who went out and switched up at quarterback, I know we tried to mark them off as just an easy win. For the Bengals, but I was out in Carolina. I was out in Charlotte this weekend. I drove past the other bank, not the real bank, but the Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. And the Bengals are going to have to pay a visit to the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton. It ain't Bryce Young. And those Panthers who apparently brought it to the Raiders, because just like I said, in a quest for what should be them getting the number one pick, in a quest for what is we should be punting on this season because we lost our defensive tackle, Derek Brown, for the year. We've lost faith in our quarterback, Bryce Young, and you've traded away every other good piece that was around him, including Brian Burns this offseason. You should be lining yourself up to get the number one overall pick this year, either to mortgage it for more picks or to pick the quarterback for the future. And I see a really good one out of Coral Gables, Cam Ward. He should be the number one guy taken. If you're the Panthers right now and you have the Red Rocket in there going up against his former team, the Bengals, I mean, come on. That's a prime position for Andy Dalton to put a signature game together at home in Carolina against his former team. I'm looking at that as an Andy Dalton revenge game. That's why the Bengals got to win tonight.
And, you know, you kind of took a right turn onto the Panther situation, and I'm glad you did, because I'm thinking about the rumor, not rumors, it's all speculation about what makes sense, and it might make sense for the Dolphins to trade for Bryce Young. But two things happened this weekend. The Dolphins looked like garbage.
Terrible.
With Skylar Thompson at quarterback. Just an inept offense, an anemic offense, an offense that I was disappointed was on my television with NFL Red Zone.
Isn't that crazy, though? Because you would think, just get the ball to some of these speed demons and let them go. Get them in space like you've been doing. If Skylar Thompson or Tim Boyle can't do that, like, what the hell? It felt like a simple formula, and it just was not executed.
So that result, knowing that this Dolphins team can't tread water without a normal starting quarterback,
yeah,
that definitely rose the stock of Bryce Young. Supply, demand. The Dolphins are demanding. They are in high demand of a quarterback. But at the same time, you saw what Andy Dalton did with Bryce Young's same exact team. It's like, wait a second. Maybe the number one overall pick at Alabama, was he the problem?
So the only backlash to that, and I talked to our guy Brian Rhodes, Brian McLevin Rhodes here, who's a longtime Raiders suffering fan. And he called his shot on this one because he's seen the Raiders in this bounce back spot time and time again. Remember the Baker Mayfield game with the Rams when he came in midweek?
That was
the
Raiders.
And then went put on a show against those Vegas Raiders. There was another game as well that he reminded me of that happened before this one. Oh, the Jeff Saturday. Yes. Fresh off of a Sunday countdown, or yes, right to the head coaching realm for the Colts a couple of years ago. they beat up on the Raiders. And then here we go, the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton coming in for Bryce Young. The Raiders, I think 8.5-point favorite to win. And not only did the Panthers beat them, they beat the living hell out of the Raiders. It looked like it was not a competition at all. The Raiders can't run the ball for like, I don't know who's worse at their ground game right now, the Cowboys or the Raiders. Them and the Bears, they're all three of them are competing for who can be the most inept at getting the easy yards on the ground. And then also the Falcons on 4th and 1. They would like a word as well. I'm just saying, I don't know if we can chalk up the Bengals getting that win, and that's why tonight they better get that win against the Commanders. Because also, all of that aura, all of that moxie, all of that confidence that y'all talk about when y'all praise Joe Burrow, all of that goes out of the window if you lose another one of these kind of games, and you're going to do it in primetime.
Bengals at home, they're going to show out in Cincinnati. If they're served a pile of crap, it's going to be felt.
Yeah, it's going to be felt, and on top of it not just being felt, they're not the kind of team that is able to, like, you know, it's not going to stay in the locker room. Like, imagine the quotes that come out of the Bengals if they drop this game. Imagine the disappointment on the face of Ja'Marr Chase if this one doesn't go correctly. I'm just saying, as much as the Jaguars need a win here, as much as they need some confidence in their own right, the Bengals better get a win tonight. And if not, it could be a very long season where maybe they're going to be picking in the top 10 or 15 versus them trying to be one of the last 5 or 10 teams standing in the NFL. We're still taking your calls on the best addition from the football offseason. I've got Sam Darnold. C-Cat will give his on the other side. The best addition from this NFL/college football offseason. Some out of Madison are saying it's Tyler Van Dyke. Too soon. Might have been too soon. The Safebound get around also on the other side. One guy getting his jersey retired by not one, but two franchises. And maybe there's one more coming because I think of another team that should do the same. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking here on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
C-Cat, I know you weren't able to watch the game as much live. You're still a little jet lagged from Italy.
It's tough.
But did you see how dejected Travis Kelce looked on the sideline? An absolute non-factor for the Chiefs, though they're off to a 3-0 start. The dude is washed.
What really pissed me off was I saw a tweet, a still of him looking sad on the sideline, and the caption was, and I bleep you not.
Yeah.
It said, "Free Travis, man." From what? From his day job? Are you kidding me? Free him from what?
Maybe he just wants to be out kicking it and partying. The dude has been lining up his post-football career for the past 2 years, and I'm excited for him. I'm happy for him, but he is absolutely not anywhere close to prime Kelce. 8 catches and 69 yards would be a bad day for him. That's his season. 8 catches and 69 yards for Travis Kelce through 3 weeks. The dude is absolutely washed, and I feel bad for any fantasy football managers who were tricked by the name and pulled the trigger on him in a draft. That was obviously fool's gold. Do you have your one football offseason addition, your most pivotal offseason addition so far, as we're 3 weeks in and I feel like Sam Darnold with his 8 passing touchdowns leading the league and the undefeated Vikings, that was such a sharp scoop.
It's kind of lame, but how about Malik Willis, right? Games for the Packers. No one expected that of Malik Willis. We were kind of chalking up games that was started by anybody not named Jordan Love would be automatic L's for the Green Bay Packers. Understood that that would be some lost time, but in an 18-week season, you can kind of handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he's doing above and beyond, beating the Titans, beating the Colts, not just treading water, but actually putting Jordan Love's Packers in a good position when he returns next week.
Jordan Love 0-1 this year. Malik Willis 2-0.
Hey, do we have a quarterback competition in Green Bay?
We should. We absolutely should. I mean, you got to play the results, man. This is a win or lose league. And Malik Willis has done nothing but win. It's time for us to hop on that so lovely vehicle, the Safebound Get Around. I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round, round and round. I get around. The Safebound Get Around is brought to you by Safebound Moving and Storage. And you know what time it is. You don't want to be that person that's stuck trying to move yourself out of your apartment, out of your home, out of your condo, because you're inevitably going to mess things up. I got faith in you. I got some level of confidence, but I also have a whole lot of history and data points with not just myself, but other people's horror stories from trying to move themselves that tells me you need to go with the pros. And SafeBound Moving and Storage, located right here in West Palm Beach. SafeBound Moving and Storage is Florida's moving company, and it's because they treat you and handle with care. They've got not just some of the best people to come and pick your stuff up, but the customer service all around when it comes to getting your consultation, as well as on pickup and move day, premier. It's A1. They are Florida's premier moving company. They also have storage options for you if you need to clear out that clutter room, that catch-all room. We recently had one of those problems, right? One of those situations. We just went with donating the stuff. Maybe you love your stuff too much. How about you use SafeBound Moving and Storage for your storage needs as well? SafeBound Moving and Storage, you're safe with SafeBound.
Next stop,
Chicago, Illinois. We went on these airwaves.
Ugly, huh?
A lot.
Yeah.
Talking about how this might be the greatest NFL rookie quarterback class of all time. You know, we almost didn't say might. We said is.
It is.
Before they played a snap in preseason.
Yep.
Well, there's only one quarterback that has thrown passing touchdowns so far this NFL season. It's Caleb Williams. It's number one overall. Caleb Williams was a leading passer over the weekend. 33 for 52. 363 yards, two passing touchdowns, two interceptions. What do you make of the Caleb Williams performance in a loss versus the Colts?
Number one, the Chicago Bears have no threat of a rushing game right now. The worst addition this offseason had to be DeAndre Swift. The dude has done absolutely nothing for them. And the second worst might be Shane Waldron, because he looks like fool's gold now leaving Seattle, where we thought he was some kind of offensive mastermind. And what we really might be realizing is Geno Smith is just better than we expected. I don't know, man. I'm still in on the Bears. I still think he'll have a great rookie season by the end of this thing. But it started off horrifically, and it's partially because that offense is one-dimensional. And also, let's wait till Keenan Allen comes back. Let's wait till the vet gets back in the locker room.
Yeah, I don't hate what I'm seeing from Caleb Williams. Like, people have been kind of trashing him because when you're the top dog, which coming into the season, he had the hype machine, which we were throwing coal into the engine, you and I.
Rightfully
in the hype machine of Caleb Williams. Coming off to a little bit of a slower start. But, again, wait and see. It's only week three. Remind yourself that. C.J. Stroud did not start off last season hot whatsoever. And you saw where he is at the end of last season. Let's wait and see with Caleb.
We got time. Absolutely, we got time.
Next stop.
A lot of football all day today, all day yesterday, all day Saturday. How about a little bit of a break? Nostalgia break. We're going to Toronto, Canada. You ask? Vince Carter is going into the Hall of Fame this month. Not only are the Nets retiring his number, the Raptors are making him the first player in franchise history to have his jersey hanging from the rafters.
And rightfully so, because I know that there was it's been some time in between, but there were some nasty feelings as Vince Carter left there. And who better to have his jersey hung from two different rafters by two different teams in the same year than a guy like Vince Carter, who played in three different decades and played for so many different teams for long tenures. I absolutely love this. Half human, half amazing. The dude is spectacular, and I do think maybe another team that needs to be retiring his jersey is whatever the hell country that was Team USA was playing when he leaped over dude for a dunk.
Yeah.
They need to retire his jersey just out of respect for what they did, how he baptized that young man on their team.
Yeah, I don't know if we've seen a more embarrassing national dunk.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of qualifiers in there, namely the national, not a lot of national basketball played by Americans.
Right.
And Americans are the ones who do the embarrassing, but still.
That was maybe, let's scrap international. That was just maybe one of the most disrespectful dunks of all time. Sean Kemp's dunk where he started pointing at the dude, that's up there. There's the Blake Griffin dunk where he pushed Mozgov into his groin as he slammed it through. That's pretty disrespectful. But just leaping over a dude who's like a 7-footer, that's like not even disrespectful. That's disregarding. He disregarded that whole man's life.
What's the equivalent of that to an everyday person, where someone that you are competing with in your profession, maybe if you're a salesperson, a competitor does that to you? They do the equivalent of Vince Carter jumping over a man, dunking over him, and landing on the other side.
It's hard for me to come to any conclusion that also doesn't involve him having like infidelity with your wife.
Next stop.
That's the only way. That's just It has to involve that. And so I feel like that's how much of a punctuation that was.
Yeah, I took your wife and kids. I took your account.
Yes.
And your kids are calling me daddy now.
That would be it. Like, you're saving up. He's putting into their, like, college tuition fund.
We're going to Austin, Texas, y'all, because after suffering an oblique strain 9 days ago against the Roadrunners, Texas Longhorns quarterback Quinn Ewers is questionable for Saturday's Texas SEC opener in Austin against Mississippi State Bulldogs.
There's no better situation than the Texas Longhorns right now, who sit atop the polls at number one in college football. UT is back, and not only are they back, they're the number two. I would say, all right, backup quarterback, we just talked about this with Malik Willis and the Packers. It's obviously not a top three, top four valuable position, but it's up there. And they have the best backup quarterback in all of the nation in Arch Manning. What a security blanket that is for them. Because if you have a receiver go down, a DN go down, a corner go down, you can make up for that. Usually a quarterback goes down. You see what happened to Florida State last year. You get left out of the dance. They've got the best backup quarterback in the nation. Such a position of power, such a position of privilege that Texas is in right now. I just don't. If there's a team I'm a bank on right now to win the college football playoff, it would be them, mostly because they have the biggest safety net in the league.
We value insurance in this life that we live so high. And it's showing it. Auto, home, life. Everybody buys insurance.
Sucking up a lot of money, too.
You need to buy some insurance at the quarterback position in football in general, because you're exactly right. We're seeing quarterbacks just tank an entire team's season / future with one injury.
Yeah.
And it's very protected nowadays, but a very vulnerable position at quarterback. One low hit and goodbye. See you next year.
Yeah.
The fact that Texas can really just cruise, like, hey, come back when you need, Quinn. We're okay.
Take your time.
By the way, Texas opened as 38-point favorites at home without their starting quarterback against SEC opponent Mississippi State. What does that tell you more about Arch Manning in Texas, or does it tell you about the bottom half of the SEC?
I was about to say, that might have to do more with those folks out of Starkville, because Arch was good. He threw two picks, though. Two touchdowns, two picks. He was really good. He looks elite. He looks like he's going to be a great quarterback. He still is a guy that's going to be making only his second start in his collegiate football career. I didn't know Mississippi State was that bad. I need to go check that out. I was
blown out by Toledo.
Oh, no.
They got blown out by Texas. Yeah, they're really bad this year.
Okay. Well, I mean, hey, I have nothing on Mississippi State football, and rightfully so, apparently, because they have nothing going for them. Who has everything going for them and pulls up every single day for the happy hour? That's the homie, Tina. She's going to pull up. She actually has a burning Miami Dolphins take. She literally texted us at what time this morning?
Like 6:32. I remember it.
Yes, 6:32 a.m. She texted us. I was on a flight coming back from New York. You were up for what reason, C-Cat?
I'm on Italy time still. I'm just getting up early, laying in bed. Yeah.
Ciao. Ciao. Well, this guy here with the international flavor, we got to figure out what that burning Dolphins take is from Tina is, as well as we keep taking your calls on who was the biggest offseason addition in football based on what we've seen through 3 or 4 weeks here. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. Tina's coming on the other side for the happy hour with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.